Welcome to this week's episode of Lagnapod, everybody. The podcast that is sweeping the nation, I think, currently. I am your co-host, Rob Holbert.
And I'm Ashley Trice.
Dale Leash.
Tommy Hicks.
And we're all here in the spacious Lagnap office recording studio. Here to talk a little bit about what's going on this week. What's the big thing, of course? The nappies are starting back.
Woo!
Believe it or not, it's like an NBA season.
The never-ending nappies.
Yes, it's like the NBA season. You know, you crown an NBA champion, and then 2 weeks later, they start the season again.
Yeah.
So, Ash, we've got this. Since you are the mastermind of the nappies and the and the controller of all
unless
things.
Unless you're unhappy with it, and then it's Rob.
Yeah, it's somebody else's fault, yes. Yeah. Since you are the one who's in charge of all this stuff and controls it all, tell us what's new this year. I know there's some new stuff going on with the nappies.
Well, just so you know, you vote, the nomination started today at noon. That's when it's open voting. You can vote for anyone in their respective categories at votenappies.com. It is not at our website. It's at votenappies.com. And so that will run through midnight on March 28th. We will stop then, tally up the top six, and then the finals will begin on April 28th. So that's all the same. Once per category per day. But what is new? New categories. We've got, there's a ton of them, but so I won't go through all of them. But some of the more popular ones, best locally brewed beer, best local brewery. Then we've got a bunch of new sports and athletic categories like best high school football coach, best high school basketball coach, best overall athletic program, best overall academic program in the schools. We've got a best porch parade / yardie gras decor category.
That should be pretty heated, I think, this season.
Yeah,
this
I think it'll be
fun. We should get a lot of votes on
probably, that one. The craziest one's going to be Mobile Bay's cutest cat. This comes after Mobile Bay's most adorable dog last year broke records.
The dog will still be in, though, this year,
right? The dog is still in, but now we've added the cat.
Right. So I mean, the dog got a lot of action last year, so we're expecting the cat.
The dog broke every record that we have ever had. And the number of votes.
Top two in each category fight to the death, right?
Yes.
The ultimate pet.
Yes.
Mobile Bay's ultimate pet.
There will be a pet rumble at that point. Yes.
We also have who or what should replace the Admiral Sims statue. I really like that one. And then in arts, we have best art photographer, filmmaker, author, poet, and classical musician. So some really good ones there. I'm not going to advocate you vote for us, but we do have the best local podcast. There's a ton of them. So that's a new category.
All four of our voters will, our listeners will vote for them. You also forgot one, though, Ash. You forgot my favorite one.
Oh, this is the best one.
My new one.
No one is left out of the nappies anymore.
Right.
If you do not have a category, you can vote in our brand new category called My Business is Awesome or I Am Awesome, but I Do Not Have a Category. And you just write your name or your business's name and then what type of business that you are. And then if we start getting enough votes for a certain type of business, we will add it. But someone...
Can you as an individual win
if you just want to be awesome, best person.
Do you have to offer any sort of occupation or any reason that you are awesome?
That you in a category. Biggest a-hole could be.
Really? Okay.
Could be one.
All right. Yeah. So that'll be a competitive category.
So you would create your own category then. You would say, okay, I believe that I should win for this category. And if other people vote for you, just come like out. They just think,
this is going to be the most fun category.
You know who's
of
a big
all?
A-hole? It's that guy.
And of course, there'll be some revenge voting. Biggest, people and their ex-wives. Biggest.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be good.
Word I will not heated. Use.
That's fun. That's
it
fun.
Get exciting. Yeah. I think this one's going to be the top six on this one are going to be really interesting.
Yes. And there will be lots of vetting that will
have
to be
done. Can
we
check Dale's phone records at the end?
We definitely will. That gets into that's a nice segue, Tommy.
Into some of the security
around the nappies. Let's talk a little bit about nappy security. Let's talk a little bit about some of the issues people worry about, Ashley. What are the complaints and
ballot
fears?
Stuffing, vote buying, look, I mean, if you really want to stuff it, you can spend all day long
on the website
on creating fake email addresses and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But we can tell that you're doing that.
That's true.
Yes.
It is one of those things. When we see that occurring, we're going to adjust that. If we see somebody who is just created like some sort of machine to do this, if there's a vote coming in every second from a different email address
for the same category. Very obvious. The system flags it. And so people do that, but we can catch it.
And I think it's a lot better. The security is a lot better than it used to be. Because I remember when I started here, people would bring in boxes of ballots that they had filled out.
Yeah, the paper ballot.
It was unbelievable.
There was one day where we were unloading the paper. They were unloading the paper outside. And I walked out there and a woman drove up in her car, slams on the brakes, jumps out and grabbed bundles that were still sitting there, threw them in her car and sped off. And we're all just looking at her like, what? Did that just happen? Yeah, it did. Somebody just came.
Those Best Dance Studio categories were really competitive.
They were.
Those were our number one suspects.
There was some definite paper theft at that time.
So you can still. What does John Merrill say? It's easy to vote and hard to cheat. Is that the slogan we're going to go with this year with the nappies?
You can cheat. It's just that it's very easy for us to see it.
Okay.
I mean, if you think you're getting, you're getting one over on us. You are not,
and we don't consider cheating. That's not to say that if you have a company and you get everybody in your company to vote for you every day,
that's not cheating. Cheating is when there's some sort of a
conspiracy of a group of people or some sort of electronic device being
or
used,
hiring or, an entire yes, class of
yes,
people,
you know, hiring people cl- and that yeah.
having
that
interns just fill out ballots.
Well,
all
I
down.
Mean, that's fine.
It's gotten just, more. Yeah. It's it, there's people from what we gathered that are hiring like numerous folks to fill these things out for them. You can see it.
It just seems like it would be harder to do that now with the one vote per hour.
It's one vote per day.
Per day. I'm sorry. It used to be per hour. I'm sorry. Yeah. My fault. Day. It's changed per day. Yeah. One vote per day.
We don't want everyone spending all day long doing this. You know, it's supposed to be fun, not a job.
But there will invariably be every year. There are people who get their feelings hurt. There are people who feel like they were, that
if you lose, it's rigged. If you win, it's the greatest thing ever. That's just the way it is.
That's how I feel.
As I told this story.
When I lose to Gabe every year, that's how I feel.
I told this story on Uncle Henry this morning, but it was, I had a guy that called and was very angry. He's a musician and he thought he definitely was a finalist in two categories. He was certain of that and he had not been made a finalist and he was sure that we had ripped him off. And when I went and looked, he had received one vote. I called him back and said, look, man, your mom didn't even vote for you. You know, it's like that's a level of conviction some people have is that I know that I'm getting votes and somehow or another not ending up.
Well,
in
you have to, you have to have a campaign. You have to ask people to vote for you.
I think that's the
thing. I mean,
there
are tons of people who just love to sit at their, desk at work and fill out the ballots.
Yes.
But, the people who try to get people to vote for them always do better. So.
Yeah, it's like an actual political campaign.
Yeah. If you
announce your name for president and then never go and campaign for it, you probably aren't going to win. And there are some people who are like, well, I didn't win because I never tried. I'm like, well, then it is that. You have to get out and, it helps to put it out there that you want to win this category, that you're interested.
It gets more competitive, it seems, every year, too.
You need a super PAC, is what you're saying.
Yeah. A super PAC will help, definitely. Ash, I had a question the other day that I didn't know the answer to, and you will know the answer. Could someone win Quintessential Mobillion 2 years in a row?
Yes.
Could be Quintessential 2 years in a row.
Yes,
okay.
you can.
Because we've had Best Mobillion many years in a row, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's all the votes. If the people feel that one particular person is that quintessential.
It's still quintessential, yes.
It's still the essence of mobile.
If your quintessentialness has not dipped over the past year, you can be back in it.
Yes, it is. It's all in the votes. It's what the people want.
Power to the people.
Yes.
No term limits here, Dale.
Yeah. That's right. No term limits.
And so we are going to have the party this year. It will be at the Civic Center.
That is the plan right now. The Sanger is going to be closed to get a new air conditioning unit from July to September. So we're going to have to move it looks like, to the Civic Center Theater. So, but no matter where it is, it's going to be one heck of a party because we've got 2 years.
We got some pent up demand,
pent up frustration and demand. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be out of this world. I like to say that's our theme this year is space. Why? Because it's close to the moon landing anniversary, and I've always wanted to do a space theme, and that's what
that's
we're
right.
doing.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's cold.
It's commemorating the 52nd anniversary of the moon landing, which is on July 20th. The the NAPI Awards paper comes out on the 21st.
Perfect.
And there is a full moon on Friday, July 23rd, the night of the NAPI Awards. So
it all comes together. It's all coming
that
together.
That was my howl.
Vote Lagnapod.
Was that a space howl? Was that the sound of space? That was good.
In space, no one can hear you howl.
That's a right? good howl. Well, upon that howl, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back in a minute with some other very interesting topics.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about golf now with Tommy Hicks, and it's you've got a really interesting story. You're writing about golf. We're going to do this regularly now. It's golf season, I guess, as it goes.
But, it's always golf season.
It's always golf season, I guess. But even though it is always golf season, some people don't think we're very good at hosting golf here. They don't think golf and much of Mobile's golf scene. Tell us a little bit about that.
The people at LawnStarter.com.
Lawn Starter.
For you who wish to express your opinion, that would be LawnStarter.com. They also, there, you can, they have ranked the top 200 cities in golf, I guess major cities, or they consider major and mid-major. And at number 200 on that list is our favorite city, Mobile, Alabama.
We're number 200 out of 200.
200 out of 200, who makes us number one if you reverse it and say,
right.
What is the worst city? And by gosh, we got number one then. Yeah, so, perspective is everything.
Now, I'm not a golfer, so I can't say a lot about it because I don't know much about what quality our courses. I see some of them. I've been out on some, and they look pretty good. Some of y'all are golfers. What do you think? I know you're an avid golfer.
I like to play. I'm not good, but I like to play. And I think there's a couple of ways to look at this survey. One, the group that does it also rates like our trimmers and things like that, and lawnmowers and that sort of thing.
So this isn't exactly their wheelhouse, right?
They're not exactly
their
wheelhouse.
They're more concerned with lawns, right?
Yes. And well-kept greens.
You can also find on their website rankings for the dirtiest cities in the U.S., the best cities for living without a car, and the worst U.S. cities for remote workers. So I'm thinking they're really stepping outside of their range here. They're all over the place on this, aren't they?
Tommy, are we falling for their trap? Are we walking right into their trap? This is clickbait.
Sand trap?
Yes, Dale, thank you. So we are walking right into their sand trap, per se, by talking about this ranking, because do they really have any knowledge about this? Are they really, I mean, this isn't Golf Magazine ranking us that low, is it?
My guess would be no, but I'll let you decide just based on this. Here are their top city was Scottsdale, Arizona. Okay, I could agree with that. That's like a fabulous.
Sure.
But in their top 10, there's not a single Florida city. How is that possible? Where New York City is number 3. I'm thinking there's a few other places, Ponte Vedra, Florida, maybe.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I mean, but Tommy, I thought that Alabama was actually regarded as one of the best. Because of the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, have a big tourism industry around that. I mean,
most certainly. I mean, you just look at how many people come, the snowbirds come here all the time during this time. But even during the spring and summer especially, they'll come from Wisconsin, Nebraska, North and South Dakota and places like that and do a trail run of two or three of the courses or something like that.
You said you've golfed most of those, right?
I've golfed almost all of them. I think that Dothan's the only one that I haven't
played.
Which
one's your favorite of all of those?
Actually, Greenville. Greenville's course, but it doesn't get a lot of attention because it's in Greenville. It's on the interstate between Mobile and Prattville, where two really nice courses on the trail are also located. But sometimes it gets passed over. But it's just a really good course. I really like the layout there. But Magnolia Grove is really good, too. I like
Magnolia Grove. I've played it a bunch.
It's nice. But I think this ranking can really, you can tell how much credibility you want to give to it by the fact that Augusta, Georgia ranks 106.
Well, they have the Masters, correct?
They have a little golf tournament
arguably the greatest golf course in the country, and it's ranked 106.
And the first Florida city is at number 38.
So if we adjust, if we grade on a scale, then on a curve, we say that's the best, then that puts us up at around 50, doesn't it? It puts us up at number 100, I guess. It bumps us up to 100.
We're behind Boise City, Idaho, Spokane, Washington, and Lincoln, Nebraska.
No. Nope.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I don't believe it.
Ashley, I think you've played all those courses, haven't you?
Yeah. Pebble Beach is my favorite. Is that one?
That's
one.
Yes. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah.
I think I had the distinction of owning the last actual woods of anybody I knew.
A persimmon driver?
I actually had a persimmon driver the last time I played golf with those. I went out and everybody else had whatever it is metal. Now, graphite, metal, whatever.
Right.
And I actually had old wooden drivers.
JFK's clubs.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were pretty poor. They were they didn't play well.
You know, you could probably get a lot of money for that now. We're talking antiques.
That was Chatham, Alabama.
Wonder where that
it's
would be on the list.
Course.
Wonder where Chatham would be on the list.
How does Spring Hill's course rank?
201.
Yeah.
Spring Hill?
Yeah. Spring Hill's course probably bringing us up a little bit.
It does.
I think it is.
It lifts us a little bit.
Well, we'll switch a little bit here to another sports or sports betting and gambling in general. One of the things that we're looking at right now is a gambling bill. And as it exists, it would basically make the Mobile Greyhound Park would be our opportunity, our designated place to have a casino out here. What do y'all think about that? Do you think the Greyhound Park could serve as a reasonable casino if we're going to have casino gaming?
I mean, sure.
Torn down and totally rebuilt.
Yeah. The property could for sure. I think I speak for everyone in Mobile when I say get it on the water. I'd like it to be on the water somewhere, but otherwise.
What do you have against Theodore? Yeah,
the Theodosians are going to be very upset about this.
I think they're Theodorian.
It's a little bit further than I want to travel.
The Mandalorian,
it's closer than
Theodorian.
It's closer than
we're going to get in big trouble when Theodore hears this.
Thanks, Dale.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, I just think, when I think of casinos, I guess because of going to Mississippi, I think of them being on the water and the coastline. I think the least we could do is put it somewhere downtown.
But do you think it's smart for the state to come in and come up with a plan that it limits the number of casinos? So Mobile, I mean, we would end up with 7 or 8 casinos total.
In the state,
In the
right.
state, 8 total.
Right.
Mississippi has 36 at this point. So is that a smart way to go into something and say we plan to be, our plan is at best to have only a few of these.
If it passes, I think it's smart. if it's what led to the passage of the bill,
I think it's smart. I'm against anyone having a monopoly over anything.
Absolutely.
But I mean, the argument against this is, well, it's the only way it's going to happen.
Right.
So if you want, because just of the political realities and how much power the Poarch Creek Indians have, and if you want this to happen, this is the way you're going to have to take it. Now, they also said that about a bridge, or the I-10 bridge, too. So I don't know that I believe it, but I do think if it does happen, the Poarch Creek Indians know that if they build a substandard property there, that everyone will still go to Biloxi.
Right.
So I would think they would, from a business perspective, have to do something nicer there. But
and I mean, look what they did up in Atmore. There's no evidence that they'll do a bad job at building sort of the infrastructure they need. OWA is another good example.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do a poor job of that because they do build quality things. The issue you have, though, when you have one company is they are going to look at, I mean, they just will do this as one company, look at it and say, this balances versus this.
Right.
We've got this group of people in between here. Right. Who's going to these right. casinos? Is it, if we add these things, are we pulling from here or the other? It's not going to be a situation to me that is would be a true competitive situation where another casino is going to come in and say, look, we want everything. So we're going to get Wayne Newton to come down here, or we're going to do dolphin shows, or we're going to have whatever it is. You know, it does seem strange that we can get into these situations where we say it's the only way we're going to get it.
Wish,
it turns very political.
At least with the lottery, I wish they would have done a clean lottery bill because everyone's for the lottery. I think the casinos are where people are like, I don't go to them. I don't care.
Right. They're ambivalent. Yeah. A lot of people don't go to casinos and a lot of people just say, hey, you know, it's too much for me. I don't want to go gamble. But it by attaching it to the bill, the thing that everybody does want, which is the lottery, you ensure that we can get this bill, and then we open up for the governor to create a compact with the porch with PCI.
Well, does anyone know the question? An answer to this question. So, what it has to go to the voters. Is it going to go as one package deal to the voters, or do you go?
As one package deal.
Deal to the voters. So that's kind of the issue, I think. But.
I just want them to pass whatever.
Well, that's a stupid way to do it too, because all the opponents will be able to easily tear apart the casino
because of what we all just mentioned. Yes,
Well, I actually brought it up. It's kind of a cool question. Which do you think will happen first, a bridge or gambling?
I'm going to say gambling.
I don't believe I'll see a bridge in my lifetime.
No, if I were a betting man, I'd say no bridge.
Yeah. Well, you can be a betting man.
Hopefully.
Well, that bill is moving pretty hot and heavy, so I think we'll see pretty soon whether it does pass, and then it's going to it'll come to the
referendum, right?
Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take another break here, and we'll be back very shortly.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
You've always turned to Lanyap for award-winning local news, in-depth investigative reporting, commentary, cuisine reviews, and arts and entertainment coverage. And now, under the leadership of sports editor Tommy Hicks, we're also home to the best sports pages in Alabama. Lanyap is your local newspaper. As always, you can pick up the print version for free at any of our Regal Purple boxes scattered across Mobile and Baldwin counties. And by purchasing a Lanyap digital subscription for just 21 cents a day, you'll help us continue to give you a great paper. Plus, you'll also get access to lanyapmobile.com on up to 5 devices and almost daily web-only content and breaking news, not to mention access to our archives. Just 21 cents a day for a Lanyap digital subscription. And right now, with the purchase of any annual Lanyap digital subscription, you'll get a cool Lanyap t-shirt. Just a little Lanyap for you. So, sign up today at lanyapmobile.com and help keep Mobile funky.
And we're back for the third and final segment of LagnaPod. I am Rob Holbert. And we're just going to say that Tommy Hicks excused himself. So
he's going to play golf, I think.
He probably is going to play golf. It is Ashley Trice and Dale Leash here with me.
Hey.
And we're going to talk a little bit now about Jeff Poore's column this week. He's kind of starting a horse race for governor at this point, saying who might run against Kay Ivey, who might run for governor. It's an interesting list. He says he thinks the 5 names to watch are Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan, Alabama Policy Institute Chief Policy Officer Phil Williams, Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle, who is also, he's run for governor before.
He has.
Mobile County Commissioner Connie Hudson and Opelika Mayor Gary Fuller.
Well, let me just get this out of the way right now. I think Tony Cannon is punching above his weight class.
No, oh, damn.
There it is. All right. Got to get that one out of the way. What do y'all think about those names? What do you think? I mean, do you think Kay Ivey would have any trouble defeating any of those people?
I don't. I think if Kay decides to run again, I think it's her race to lose.
I don't know that she's. It's yes, all the incumbent always has it, but I mean, her age is going to be a factor.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, you know. People who have seen her at press conferences says she looks a little feeble.
Right.
You know, I mean, that may become more of an issue by then.
Sure.
Well, I mean, they'll just hide her away like they did the last time. She's not going to be out in public.
And I mean, she won't debate. We already know that, which is its own problem.
I mean, I can say when I went down and saw her at the Airbus, she was pretty feeble looking.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that I think there's an opening there. It's not like she's a, you know.
Did he mention Will Ainsworth at all?
Yeah. I mean, okay.
He mentions him, but Ainsworth has said he's not going for
it. I thought he said he's not going for the state Senate.
No, he's not going
for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. I think Will Ainsworth will be the, other than Kay Ivey, I think he's right there. And then I think the others are just kind of pushing for third.
He's talking about a long shot, you know, like the Bentley of the. Of the, you know, how he was sort of a long shot too, and
we talked about it a little bit. I think the longest shot there, and I think Rob disagrees with us, Ashley, but I think the longest shot there is Tony Cannon.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I know a lot of people in Orange Beach really like Tony Cannon, and you know, even though he's had some of the personal issues with the fighting at the Floribama and that kind of stuff, but that's right. I just don't know that he presents as governor material.
He's an affable guy. We've talked to him. Yeah. We've had some fun with him. We've made fun of him, and he's taken it in stride, right, which is stuff you need to be.
He's expressed a good sense of humor to us.
Sure, sure. So I don't have anything against him. I just, you go from, granted, they have a big budget. I understand it's Orange Beach, but you go from a small city mayor to governor seems like quite a leap.
Everyone in Alabama politics goes from pretty much like a state legislature from, you know. Yeah.
I mean, it is a Bentley-esque leap, for sure.
I mean, Bentley would be, certainly, Bentley would have been
and that worked out, actually, and that worked out so well for
him. I think Connie would be an attractive candidate. I mean, obviously Alabamians like voting for women. I mean, we've had two female governors now. So, and you know, if you've got a
one that wasn't a puppet, but that's fine.
if you get a bunch of dudes and she's the only candidate, I could see where she would do well, you know. So,
but I think Connie could be a strong candidate. It's just,
I think we all think she wants to be mayor before
she's waiting for Sandy to stop. Waiting for Sandy to stop running to put her.
I just don't know that's a smart political move for her, if that's something she wants to do. I don't know, you know, that's but I do think it would be kind of a leap to jump from county commissioner to governor, but same thing with Opelika mayor. I mean,
of course, Birmingham always believes that only they can send a mayoral candidate because they're Birmingham. But
I think Tommy Battle, he ran before. I think he's a good candidate. Yeah. And I think from down here, Hightower might run again. I know we don't talk about him much, and you know,
I don't know. He's had several, you know. He has not been able to win, obviously.
Right, but he's got his name out there, and I think that's also important.
Yeah, he does. I think Battle with his last run, and he did a pretty good job during the last run. I think he's got some name recognition already, so that helps him.
I mean, but say Ivy doesn't run, she gets ill or something, and then Bonner runs. What do you think happens there?
I mean, if Joe Bonner wants to run, I think he's got a good opportunity. You know, the question is. I mean, he's at this point doesn't seem like he is that interested in running anymore. I don't know. He hasn't run in a while. So, and he's probably done the job enough at this point that, you know, he would be the obvious choice, I guess, if she chooses not to run.
And but, I guess he's not interested in Senate. I haven't heard his name thrown around for that U.S.
No, I don't know that Bonner loved the concept of campaigning all that much. Yeah. You know, I don't know that that was his favorite thing.
Who would?
Ugh. It does sound pretty, pretty brutal. But speaking of governors, you know, so we still have Kay Ivey, and she's supposed to come out tomorrow and talk about the masks again, or I guess today will be when it comes out. Well, we're recording this on Wednesday, but so Thursday she's going to be talking about masks.
The mandate's, I think, effectively scheduled to run out tomorrow. So the assumption is that she's going to say something one way or the other about it. And we haven't heard anything about her actually speaking yet. So it's kind of still up in the air.
And it's right on the heels of Texas and Mississippi both doing away with the mask ordinance.
I think she's going to keep the mask and then up and then open everything up to 100% capacity.
I think that kind of absolves her from some of the criticism that Texas has received. Granted, whether it's fair or not, that's your opinion. But I think it'll absolve her from some of that criticism and still make business owners and people like that happy.
So, we're talking about opening restaurants 100% capacity again and that kind of thing.
The Sanger Theater type places.
And so if you can walk into the restaurant, if you put your mask on, you can walk to your table and sit down and take it off. And you've saved the world there versus what Texas is doing. Yeah, it's, the virus can't affect you if you're below 3 feet. It is.
We're one of the slowest states when it comes to vaccine rollout. So I think you got to still, I understand that we're, a month or two, maybe three away from having herd immunity. And that's good news. But I'd really hate for there to be a fourth spike after we've kind of been lenient. I think what you should do is the best of both worlds, which is what we're talking about. Kind of still at least keep the appearance that you're staying safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get tougher and tougher because as people get vaccinated, they're going to be, that's had their shot already, they're almost unbearable to be around because
they're ready to take the masks off, right? You've had your shot, Dale.
I know.
Are you unbearable at this point?
No, but I'm still a week.
I have got vaccine envy at this point. My husband's getting one next week, and I am jealous. I'm just going to say it.
I'm still like 5 days from the 2 week period where you get full immunity. So I'll be unbearable.
Even more unbearable.
You'll be ready to tear that thing off in a couple of days. So we've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to talk about a story that you wrote about this week. It is kind of an unbelievable one. We had a double murder early this year, and the man who is accused of it, we found out, had committed and pled guilty to a double murder back in 2007, and he served 5 years.
He served 5 years. It was a 20-year sentence split with five to serve and five years probation ran concurrently. And the issue, the frustrating thing about this story is that no one will talk about it.
Right.
And I reached out to everyone you can think of. I reached out to the former prosecutor, I reached out to the current DA, I reached out to the former DA. I tried to reach his former defense attorneys just to kind of find out what the parameters of this deal were. And basically, all we found out was that it was a blind plea, meaning there was no deal. And that I even talked to the former judge, Sarah Stewart, who is now a Supreme Court justice. And either, the argument, the basic story that I heard was that they either didn't remember, or in the case of Ashley Rich, she couldn't talk about it because the current case is under gag order.
For whatever reason, and we don't know why it's under a gag order either. So, have you ever heard of somebody serving 5 years for killing two people?
I haven't, and I'm by no means
an expert. When it went to trial, it was a capital case. This guy could have gotten the death penalty for these two murders, and he instead got two 10-year sentences.
Maybe their case started falling apart or something like that.
That's something they're saying. But they're not telling us why. They can't say why.
Saying why, and I get it. It's
that happens on Law and Order all the time.
It does, yeah.
It was a double murder in a drive-through, but it was also it was attempted murder too.
Yeah.
The third victim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's far and above what you would consider to be the threshold for a capital case, and we're talking about 5 years of prison and 5 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and folks
can scratch it for sure.
Folks who pick that up this week, we're going to keep working on that as we go along.
And I must plug it one more time because this is the most important thing that's happening. VoteNappies.com. Once per category.
Right.
Once per day.
vote early. Vote often. As often as you're allowed to.
Yes. We don't want you storming the Lanyap World headquarters. Yes.
The counting is taking place far away from here. You cannot disrupt the count by coming here.
That's right. It's in Nebraska.
The QAnon, do not come here. Do not stop the steal here. So,
yeah.
Go to Nebraska.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again for listening to Lagnapod this week, and we will be back next Thursday.
All right. Bye, y'all.
The Lagnapod is a Something Extra Publishing production. Executive producers are Rob Holbert and Ashley Trice. Music is by Some Pulse Sounds and Electro Animals. To sign up for a Lagnap digital subscription to have continued access to this podcast, go to my.lagnapmobile.com. For Lagnapod advertising opportunities, please call 251-450-4466.